his friends would be left far behind. It was useless to look down, for he could only see the topsides of the branches, so he stared upward and saw, far away in the blue, Jill the kite, balancing and wheeling, as he kept watch over the jungle waiting for things to die. Jill saw that the monkeys were carrying something, and dropped a few hundred yards to find out whether their load was good to eat. He whistled with surprise when he saw Mowgli being dragged up a treetop, and heard him give the kite call for, "We be of one blood, thou and I." The waves of the branches closed over the boy, but Jill balanced away to the next tree in time to see the little brown face come up again. "Mark my trail," Mowgli shouted. "Tell Baloo of the Seeonee Pack and Bagheera of the Council Rock." "In whose name, brother?" Jill had never seen Mowgli before, though of course he had heard of him. "Mowgli, the frog, man cub, they call me. Mark my trail." The last words were shrieked as he was being swung through the air, but Jill nodded and rose up till he looked no bigger than a speck of dust. And there he hung, watching with his telescope eyes the swaying of the treetops as Mowgli's escort whirled along. "They never go far," he said with a chuckle. "They never do what they set out to do. Always pecking at new things are the Bandar log. This time, if I have any eyesight, they have pecked down trouble for themselves. For Baloo is no fledgling, and Bagheera can, as I know, kill more than goats." So he rocked on his wings, his feet gathered up under him, and waited. Meantime, Baloo and Bagheera were furious with rage and grief. Bagheera climbed as he had never climbed before, but the thin branches broke beneath his weight, and he slipped down, his claws full of bark. "Why didst thou not warn the man-cub?" he roared to poor Baloo, who had set off at a clumsy trot in the hope of overtaking the monkeys. "What was the use of a half-slaying him with blows if thou didst not warn him? Haste, oh haste, we skin and very quick to strike. Gaul was not a poisonous snake. In fact, he rather despised the poison snakes as cowards, but his strength lay in his hug, and when he had once lapped his huge coils round anybody, there was no more to be said. Haunches. Like all snakes of his breed, Ka was rather deaf and did not hear the call at first. Then he curled up, ready for any accident, his head lowered. "Good hunting for us all," he answered. "Oh ho, Baloo, what dost thou do here? Good hunting, Bagheera. One of us at least needs food. Is there any news of game afoot? Or even a young buck. I am as empty as a dried well." "We are hunting," said Baloo carelessly. He knew that you must not hurry Ka. He is too big. "Give me permission to come with you," said Ka. "A blow, more or less, is nothing to thee, Bagheera or Baloo. But I have to wait and wait for days in the wood path, and climb half a night on the mere chance of a young ape. Pshaw! The branches are not what they were when I was young. Rotten twigs and dry boughs are they all." "Maybe thy great weight has something to do with the matter," said Baloo. "I am a fair length." "A fair length," said Ka with a little pride. "But for all that, it is the fault of the new grown timber. I come very near to falling on my last hunt, very near indeed, and the noise of my slipping, for my tail was not tight wrapped round the tree, waked the bander log, and they called me most evil names." "Footless yellow earthworm," said Bagheera under his whiskers, as though he were trying to remember something. "Sssss, have they ever called me that?" said Ka. "Something of the kind it was that they shouted to us last moon, but we never noticed them. They will say anything, even that thou hast lost all thy teeth, and wilt not face anything bigger than a kid, because they are indeed shameless, these bander log. Because thou art afraid of the he-goat's horns," Bagheera went on sweetly. Now a snake, especially a wary old python like Ka, very seldom shows that he is angry, but Baloo and Bagheera could see the big swallowing muscles on either side of Ka's throat ripple and bulge. "The bander log have shifted their grounds," he said quietly. "When I came up into the sun today, I heard them whooping among the treetops." It is the bander log that we follow now," said Baloo. But the words stuck in his throat, for that was the first time in his memory that one of the jungle people had owned to being interested in the doings of the monkeys. "Beyond a doubt, then, it is no small thing that takes two such hunters, Slow goer. I am hungry, said himself along the ground, finding the shortest road with his steady eyes and keeping to it. In the cold lairs, the monkey people were not thinking of Mowgli's friends at all. They had brought the boy to the Lost City and were very pleased with themselves for the time. Mowgli had never seen an Indian city before, and though this was almost a heap of ruins, it seemed very wonderful and splendid. Some king had built it long ago on a little hill. You could still trace the stone causeways that led up the ruined gates, where the last splinters of wood hung to the worn, rusted hinges. Trees had grown into and out of the walls. The battlements were tumbled down and decayed, and wild creepers hung out of the windows of the towers on the walls in a bushy, hanging clump. A great roofless palace crowned the hill, and the marble of the courtyards and the fountains was split and stained with red and green, and the very cobblestones in the courtyard where the king's elephants used to live had been thrust up and apart by grasses and young trees. From the palace you could see the rows and rows of roofless houses that made up the city, looking like empty honeycombs filled with blackness. The shapeless block of stone that had been an idol in the square where four roads met. The bits and dimples at street corners where the public wells once stood. And the shattered domes and temples with wild figs sprouting on their sides. The monkeys called the place their city and pretended to despise the jungle people because they lived in the forest. And yet they never knew what the buildings were made for, nor how to use them. They would sit in circles in the hall of the king's council chamber, and scratch for fleas and pretend to be men, or they would run in and out of the roofless houses and collect pieces of plaster and old bricks in a corner, and forget where they had hidden them, and fight and cry in scuffling crowds, and then break off to play up and down the terraces of the king's garden, where they would shake the rose trees and oranges in sport to see the fruit and flowers fall. They explored all the passages and dark tunnels in the palace and the hundreds of little dark rooms, but they never remembered what they had seen and what they had not, and so drifted about in ones and twos or crowds, telling each other that they were doing as men did. They drank at the tanks and made the water all muddy, and then they pulled over it, and then they would all rush together in mobs and shout, "There is no one in the jungle so wise and good and clever and strong and gentle as the Bandar Log." Then all would begin again till they grew tired of the city and went back to the treetops, hoping the jungle people would notice them. Mowgli, who had been trained under the law of the jungle, did not like or understand this kind of life. The monkeys dragged him into the cold lairs late in the afternoon, and instead of going to sleep, Star.